listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilkins bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. And thank God for WCNO. They want to do the same thing. We want to raise the standard in the body of Christ this day and this hour. And we see so many things that are going the other way. But we want to bring you some light. And when you have the light, it'll dispel all the darkness. So we welcome you to the program. We thank you for their listening. That listen every week. We hear from you from time to time. And we know there's probably somebody, Pastor Donna, that's listening for the first time. So my wife Donna's on here with me, and Sister Margie Swaney, one of the elders in our church. And so we're just honored to be here with you for this hour. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If not, we do offer CDs, and all you have to do is make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's our ministry. And mail it to Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. So we're honored to be here with you, aren't we, Pastor Donna? And we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks. You got something you want to say, Pastor Donna, over in Andros Island?
Well, yes, we bless you, the Temple of God in Andros Island.
Yes, we do.
We just thank the Lord for you and for the building going up. And anyone who's listening from Andros Island, I know some people do, go and see Roscoe and Audrey Walks, and they are a prophetic and apostolic ministry, and they will pray for you. And they live on conch
sound.
So they blow.
So good. That's right.
They don't always blow a shofar. They blow a conch.
They took a conch shell, drilled a hole in it, and made a shofar. And boy, it's got a nice sound.
It's really loud.
Yeah, it's really loud. Yeah.
It's awesome. So we want to say hello to those people, Mary and others that are over there that go to their fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
I also want to mention, Pastor Gene, that we do have Shabbat on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. And we meet at the Alliance Church on Osceola Street. It's 445 Southeast Osceola Street. So if you'd like to come this afternoon and have Shabbat with us, we would love to meet you and enjoy your fellowship.
Amen.
And we usually have a little fellowship afterwards so we can spend time worshiping the Lord and getting in God's Word.
That's right.
And honoring the Sabbath.
Absolutely.
Because the Sabbath never did end. Amen.
And it never will end.
And it never will end. It will.
And it's not Sunday, I want you to know.
No, Sunday's the first day of the
That's
week.
That's right.
Amen.
That is, praise the Lord, forgot to start this thing. Thank you, Lord. So the Sabbath is on Saturday, always on Saturday, isn't it? Amen.
That's right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we want to thank you for listening again this week. And thank you, all of you that give offerings to this ministry. And we've had a lot of things given here recently to help us on our program. And this month, we only had to pay for 1 week because we had enough people that sent in the other 3 weeks as offerings. And so it covered the program for the month of May. So if you are led that way, ask the Lord to show you. And whatever He tells you to do, you be obedient to that. And if you are, He will bless you in your coming in, you're going out, everything, as long as you're obedient and willing in heart to do that. Amen?
Amen. I want to mention our phone number, too, if anybody'd like to call. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And also want to mention, we just had more books printed of pictures of the Messiah, God's prophetic calendar. So if anybody is interested in that, it's $25. And it has all the feasts of the Lord in it, and the Sabbath, and many other things in it as well.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
You'll be blessed with it, not because I did it, but because it was a work from the Lord.
Yes.
And he wanted me to do it, and it took a long time. I did one lesson a week, and I spent all week getting it done. And Pastor Donna did all the charts. She did a wonderful job on the charts in the back. Because, you know, a picture, the world, I think it was the Chinese, said, a picture's worth 1,000 words. And so the charts are incredible, especially the one about the calendar. So I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, and we greet you again in the love of the Lord. So, hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
God for that.
Yes.
Well, you know, today happens to be the 28th day of counting the Omer. So we're still got a ways to go out to the 50th day. So we got some things we can still talk about, and I want to share some things here today. And I was thinking this morning, I was going through some of the notes I've had in the past, and I got thinking about, you know, we read in the Bible about his commandments, his judgments and his ordinances and all that. Well, you know, there's a definition for every one of those words and what they're all about. And a lot of people don't know what they are. They just say, well, they're his commandments, but they have a purpose. Everything that he put in place had a purpose. And so remember this one, the commandments were to express the righteous will of God. That's why the Torah could not have been done away with. Next thing is they talk about what God's judgments, what are they? It was there to govern the social life of Israel with each other, okay?
Amen.
And then we have the ordinances. They were there to what? To govern the religious life of Israel as a whole.
Amen.
And we're part of Israel. We're grafted in, aren't we?
Yes.
So that's the purpose of it. So here we are counting these days, and God knew exactly how long it was going to take them to leave on Nisan 15 when they came out of Egypt to get to Mount Sinai, those 47 days, and they had to wait the 3 days. We talked about this in the past. And he knew what he was going to do. He was going to give them all the commandments, all the judgments, all the ordinances, the Ten Commandments. He began to give them all the instructions how to walk what? A holy life with him. So why would we want to talk today and say that God's not looking to the Torah anymore? And we know that Torah doesn't mean law. You know, that's what the Greek says, law. Well, they were commandments, but it's the teaching instruction of God for you and I to walk a holy life. And that's what it's all about. So I want to talk about a thing today that I don't think I've ever shared much about it on the radio, but it needs to be. And there's two scriptures that we have to reconcile, and if we can't, well, then we're wrong. So I want to go, first of all, to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to look at these two verses.
And as you're going there, you know, God never did even stop one of the commandments, did he?
Not a one.
No.
Nope. No.
No, not
even
one.
A one. He never said, well, you don't need to do this anymore. Okay, you're going to go to Matthew 5, and then I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 8, is the other part, and I'll wait a second for you to get there.
Okay.
And then I want to read this one verse, and then we're going to read the one in Hebrews, and if you look at it, it looks, sounds like they contradict one another, but see, God is not a God of contradiction, is he?
No.
What he says is true, and that's it. All right, first verse we're going to read is in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17, Jesus, this is his words, think not that I am come, listen to this now real carefully, to destroy, this word also means to abolish, the law, it means the Torah, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to do what? To fulfill. Now we go over to Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to spend some time over here today.
I underlined that word not.
That's right.
I am not come to destroy.
That's right. So we have verse 13 now. In Hebrews chapter 8.
Okay.
Now, this is the contradiction to what we just read. If what Jesus said is not true, then why would they write this? It says this, then he saith, who's this? The Lord, a new covenant or a renewed covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So this is a contradiction. So the question is, was it the covenant that was going to vanish away? or was it the priesthood that was going to vanish away? I want to try to prove with you today on the radio with the Word of God that it's the priesthood was what was going to change, okay? There was a changing of the guard when Yeshua died. So those are the two verses. So we'll at the end, we'll try to put those two together so you can understand this.
Oh, we're talking about the old priesthood.
That's right, the old priesthood. Remember, the priest was put in office, and when one before him died, and he stayed in there until he died. It might have been 30 years, 50 years, whatever. And then when he died, what? Another man stepped up. So we're in Hebrews. Let's go read now a little bit. I'm going to start off in chapter 7 here with you. In this chapter, we know that the Apostle Paul is writing and comparing our Messiah with Melchizedek, who had no ending and no beginning. So I don't want to read the whole chapter, but I want to start in verse 15. Let's read some verses. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Well, we're talking about who? Yeshua HaMashiach, who is made not after the law or the Torah, of a carnal commandment, but after the power, what? Of an endless life. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Never changes. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And this is right out of Psalms 110, verse 4, if you'd want to write it down. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law, or the Torah, made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Well, what hope would that be? It's about the Messiah. Remember, in Galatians it tells you that the Torah was put in place to be a schoolmaster to bring us to the Messiah. Verse 20, and inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made, what? Priest. Who's the he? Yeshua.
Yeshua.
For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now we go on, verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, or covenant, huh? And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of what? Death. They died. They were in there until they died. But this man, Yeshua, because he continueth ever, forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's making intercession for us right now.
Right now.
For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Hallelujah. For the law of the Torah maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, means weaknesses. But the word of the oath, which was since the law of the Torah, maketh the Son, who is consecrated, for how long? Forevermore. Now we go into chapter 8. I'm going to read a few verses here, then we're going to talk. Now, of the things which we have spoken, Paul says, this is the summation of it, he's telling us. We have such a high priest. Who is this? It's about Messiah Yeshua, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Aren't you glad? For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is a necessity that this man, this is Yeshua, have something also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the Torah, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, God told him, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. This is wonderful when you think about it. Amen. Now, I'm going to read three more verses, and we're going to talk about this. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. Who's the he here? It has to be Yeshua, our high priest today. By how much also he, Yeshua, is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon what? Better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So we're going to stop right there and talk about this for a moment. Now, I want you to notice something here. If you look at this real close, whenever you read through chapter 8 and the beginning of chapter 9, we see this word covenant that's mentioned several times. In verse 6, it's revealed, and if you notice, it is talking about a true covenant, the first covenant, you know, the covenant that Jesus brought. Now, verse 7 has, it says, For if that first covenant, the covenant is in italics, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now, let's think about this a moment before we talk about this. We've been reading from chapter 7, where we started, all the way through here. What are we talking about? Are we talking about a covenant? We're talking about the priesthood and their duties, how long they would be in office, and all the rest of it. And we know that Yeshua was after the order of Melchizedek. He has no end, and he's going to be there forever. And so we're going to look forward to seeing him one day. So it's all about the priesthood. It's not talking about the covenant. So in my Bible, I marked all these, like verse 7, I marked the word covenant. I marked it in yellow. Okay? And then we go over here to verse 13 in chapter 8, the word, the new covenant. You notice it is also in italics. I marked that. Chapter 9, verse 1, then verily the first covenant. That's in italics. I also marked that, okay? So, man tried to put a word in there, and I'm not holding anything against them for what they thought and understood at that time. But my question is this. Has the first covenant, has the Torah totally been done away with? Do we just, it's not in effect any longer? The answer to that has to be a no. It has to be, it's always been in effect because it's our foundation. It teaches us how to walk the right way with God. It tells us what sin is and how dreadful it is and the consequences of it as well. So let's look at this real close for a moment. I'm going to read verse 6 and 7 again now. But now hath, this is Yeshua, he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Now this covenant is not in italics because he's talking about the New Testament, the renewed testament, which was established upon what? Better promises. Don't we have better promises than the first covenant had?
Amen.
We do. Now here's verse 7. For if the first covenant, now we could just leave that word covenant out in the text, the Greek text, it was blank. For if the first had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But they put the word covenant in there, like there's something wrong. Let me ask you this. The covenant that God gave Israel, was there something wrong with it? Was it faulty? Was it in error somewhere? No. If they would have obeyed everything that God put in place, just think about it. You know, when they came out of their captivity and all the things that they had, one place that talks about they would have traveled 11 days and have been in the promised land, but they were disobedient. And so what happened? They had to travel around for 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience. So what he gave them was not, there wasn't one thing wrong with that covenant. And they're still not. And by the way, God is still honoring that covenant with Israel right now. But we just read this here in verse, we didn't read, I'm going to read verse 9. He's going to honor this right now. It says, not according to the covenant that I made with them, with their fathers, in the days when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not, hear this, not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But he says right here in verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, at the end, saith the Lord, I will put my laws, or my Torah, teachings, into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be, what, a people.
Amen.
So, I'm just trying to declare with you today, you hear it taught a lot, and maybe you have, that the Torah is not valid today for us. And we know that the Torah that Yeshua put in place, when we read his word and all that in the New Testament, it has a higher responsibility, I believe, than the first, because it's a matter of the heart.
Yes.
It's not a physical, external thing. It's a matter of the heart. Where is your heart with the Lord? That's why it makes it different. So think about that.
And we need to remember what Jesus said. Think not that I come to destroy the law.
Or abolish it.
Right. Or the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
That's it.
So we're talking about the where you said the word covenant.
That's right.
That was talking about the first priesthood, because that's how God operated through the priesthood.
That's what he did.
In those days. That's Moses right. going into the tabernacle, Moses going up to the mountain.
Yeah, and Aaron.
Getting the law and getting the Ten Commandments and all that. So over there in verse 13 of chapter 8, where you said a new covenant, it says a new covenant, but that word covenant is in italics
again.
So we're talking about a new priesthood. So the old priesthood was
decaying and waxing old and is ready to vanish.
Decaying and waxing old and ready to vanish away.
And it did.
And it did.
Remember the Hebrews here, when Paul wrote this, a lot of the Hebrews had come to Yeshua. Well, as time went on, they started thinking the old way. They were going to go back to the old economy. And Paul was encouraging them in this letter not to go back. There was only one way, and it was through Yeshua the Messiah. And that's what his purpose was, to write this book.
I think about when Jesus died on the cross, mm-hmm. that the priesthood, the priest that was there at that time, he ripped his collar. And that was a sign that...
There's going to be a changing of the guard.
There's going to be a change.
Anytime the priest ripped that reinforced collar, he was taken out of the office.
Taken out of the office. And so that was the moment the new priesthood started.
That's right.
Was with Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like you said, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
So
no ending.
That's right.
No beginning, no ending.
That's it. So that verse 7 says, for if that first covenant... I believe it means the priesthood had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But men were faulty, weren't they?
Yes.
But there wasn't a thing wrong with what God gave Israel at that time. So what was faulty? Verse 8, the very first sentence tells you, for finding fault with them, not it. You know, it's not the covenant. With them, he saith, behold, the days come, and so on. So they were the ones that were faulty. They had to sacrifice for their own sins, for their family, and for Israel. Jesus never has to sacrifice anything again. He's done it once and for all. We read that, didn't we?
Yes.
In fact, listen to this. This is right out of my book. I got an appendix 3 in my book about this. The very last paragraph of the book. Listen to this. At 3 p.m. on Nisan 14, that was the day of Passover, the Messiah yielded up the ghost and died, as it says in Matthew 27:50. At that moment, the veil was ripped from top to bottom by who? By God. Okay?
That's another sign of the change of the
collar. We're going to find out right here. Even as the high priest earlier that day had ripped his collar, God ripped his holy veil to finish the transfer of the high priesthood from an earthly priesthood to a heavenly priesthood. And who is that? Yeshua HaMashiach. Because of that event, all mankind in the Messiah can now boldly enter into the Holy of Holies freely at any time. Therefore, the high priest is sitting on the right hand of God. His name happens to be Yeshua. I say, wow, when I think about it. No more separation. The veil of his earthly body was rent for us as a sacrifice once and for all. Consequently, the instructions in the Torah were followed in every detail during the day of the Messiah. However, there was so much anger from the high priest that he violated the commandments of God regarding the trial of Yeshua. It was a travesty. In conclusion, the spiritual aspects of the Torah are still active and valid to all believers today. We just don't do all the ceremonial things, but there's a spiritual truth behind all of them. Remember Paul said, what the letter killeth, but what? The spirit gives life. And so we got proof right here. And so it's a shame. I got one commentary, I think, out of all the ones I've had. If I remember, I think it was Kenneth Wiest. He had a 4-volume commentary on the New Testament that he wrote. And he saw this, and he talked about this being the high priest and not the elimination of the covenant. So I'm going to stop here and let Pastor Don say something, and Margie. But I want to read verse 13 again in chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Okay? In that he saith, who's the he here? It's God. A new covenant. See, it's in italics. So think about that. He hath made the first old. Maybe that's how we come up with the term the old covenant. I like to call it the first covenant, not the old one. Now that which is decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. You're telling me that the word that God gave Israel with all the commandments and the instructions are it's waxing old and it's going to be done away with. Well, then what? What do we use for a foundation? What do we use for direction in our life? We don't have any, do we?
No.
That's right. So this is very important. So I really believe this is showing a new priesthood. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily, the first priesthood, instead of covenant, had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. It's amazing when we think about it. Amen? Yeah. So it's all talking about our new high priest, Yeshua. So it puts a whole new, I think, concept and understanding in our mind about what it's all about. And that's what God wants us to know in this day and this hour. Amen? All right, Pastor Don, you got something you wanted to share there.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was just thinking about what it says over there in verse 7. I don't know if you read the last three verses.
Where at?
26.
In chapter 7. Oh, yeah. Go ahead and read it again.
Because it talks about the high priest.
Sure does.
And that he is holy.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
That's right.
And he's harmless.
Yes.
He was undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heaven.
Only one man
only
can do
one it. Person, only one man.
That's
only,
right, Yeshua.
Only the Son of God, who is God, who needed not daily. See, they had daily sacrifices. The priests had to go in and do requirements day in and day out, sacrificing animals over and over and over again, more and more blood. Well, only the blood of Yeshua cleanses us from all sin. And when we believe on his name and believe in him, it says, who needed not daily as those high priests, we're talking about the priesthood, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins, these were the priests, and then for the people's sins. For this he did once when he offered up himself. When Yeshua offered up himself, that took care of
everything. That's right.
It took care of everything. But you have to believe. You have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You have to believe. Verse 28 says, for the law maketh men high priests.
That's right.
Which have what? Infirmities.
That's right.
The law.
And they don't have an endless life, do they?
No, they don't have an endless life. He has an endless life. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, the Son, we're talking about Yeshua, the Son, who is consecrated forever.
That's right.
Forever.
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 That's right.
So I was thinking that, and there's so many other places that show us that this priesthood was this old, which they call the covenant, which you said is the priesthood.
That's right.
It was, that had to, it was decaying. It wasn't working any longer.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't fulfill the needs of the people.
That's right. You know, if we back up into chapter 7, Pastor Donna, we can see even more of this. For time's sake,
well, while you go there, I want to read verse
okay,
8
go ahead.
In chapter 9.
Go ahead.
It says the Holy Ghost. See, we have the Holy Ghost now. We're talking
sure
about
do.
Pentecost coming
mm-hmm.
up, and we have
That's
Pentecost,
what we're talking
and we
about.
Have the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
See, the God the Father spoke on the mountain to Moses, and the people all heard
yes.
his voice. They all heard the voice of the Lord of God.
Yes.
And but we have the Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. No one could go into the Holy of Holies except the high priest, and only
and
on one
year.
Day of year.
That's right.
Right. Only once
one
a
day.
Year. And what day was that on?
On the Day of Atonement.
The Day of Atonement. Could he go in? And he had to go in totally. I mean, he had to spend time before the Lord before he went in there. And he had to sprinkle blood on the altar, on the mercy seat. He had to sprinkle blood all around in that room. He went behind the veil and sprinkled that blood only once a year. But it says the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. See, it hadn't happened then. Hadn't been opened up while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. But once Yeshua died on that cross, like you said, at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, that when they laid the lamb on the altar and they
cut
its throat, and the priest said, it is finished. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. And the veil in the tabernacle tore from top to bottom, and the priest ripped his collar. What a sign.
That's right.
What
just
a
read
sign.
That, didn't we?
what a sign of And what about the lightning? And what about all the darkness? And what about all the things that happened, you know?
That's right.
On that day.
It's amazing.
When Jesus gave his life for that new and living way, that new covenant that we have, which is forever, a priesthood forever. He's a priest forever.
That's right.
And he says that we're priests and kings, right?
That's right. We sure are.
Go ahead, honey.
That's what it says in Revelation chapter 1. I'm back in chapter 7. We were here, this chapter was comparing Melchizedek with the Messiah. For time's sake, I'm going to start in verse 11. It says, the word of God, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, hear this, for under it the people receive what? The law or the Torah. What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there's made of necessity a change also of the law or the Torah. Something had to change. Now, before I go on, I'll share this. Only two things changed from the first covenant to the second covenant. You know what it is? No more sacrifices will ever be required. The other thing, we have a priesthood now that's in office. He'll be there eternally. They do not, it's unending death. He'll never be removed from that place. So those are the two things that have changed, and everything else is in place.
So those are the only two things, not the Ten Commandments haven't changed, nothing.
Nope.
So what we're seeing now with all the abortions and the talk about that on the news and everything, that is murder. They're killing
babies.
Killing children.
That's
killing
right.
Babies. And it's interesting that some states are now going to say they're not going to do it, but you know that people are going to fight that.
They're already started.
They're already started fighting that. But Alabama said they abolished the abortion.
That's
you know, there's going to be people that will rise up and fight that because they want their own way.
That's right.
But I thank God that there are some people that are starting to stand up for life. And for the babies, because how many babies have been?
They said on the news yesterday, 60 million has been killed since 1973 when Roe versus Wade was put in place. Can you imagine that?
That's murder.
And we think about the Holocaust with 6 million people. Think about 60 million babies never even had a chance to come into the world. And there's probably a lot of preachers in that bunch that would have came, and a lot of other professions as well. So let's go on here. I'm going to read verse 12 again in chapter 7. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law or the Torah. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. Who are we talking about here? Yeshua, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. No one but a Levitical priest did any kind of work at the altar. No one from the tribe of Judah. Verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning what? Priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law or the Torah of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We're talking about Yeshua. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law of the Torah made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And insomuch as not without an oath, he was what? He was made priest. Isn't that incredible? I'm going to read 21 also. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, this is God the Father, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Wow. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, Yeshua, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Amen. All right.
Glory
to
God.
Anything else you want to say?
Glory to God. Well, I just want to reiterate. I don't know if somebody else just turned in, but we're talking about the Word of God and the commandments and the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible.
That's right.
That Jesus made the statement. He said that Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Don't think that I've come to destroy
anything. That's right, or change it.
Or the prophets, because the prophets prophesied what was going to happen. Amen?
That's right.
Somewhere else that he even mentions the Psalms.
Yep.
Amen? He said, Jesus said, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So he's the fulfillment of the law. And like you said, it's because of the power that he has given us to be able to live a godly life.
That's right. So how do we reconcile?
Verse 18, I'm going to read that too.
Go ahead, honey.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law.
That's it.
We hadn't read that. Till all be fulfilled.
That's it.
So when all things are fulfilled.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. So how do we reconcile Matthew 5:17 and Hebrews 13? How do we do that? I'll tell you how. It's not talking about a covenant. It's talking about the priesthood. The covenant and what God's done is going to be there forever. Amen.
It's an everlasting covenant.
And it's a renewed covenant. A couple of things have changed, but otherwise everything else is there. It's there, you know.
So Jesus came for all men. No matter what, not just the Jewish people.
Everybody.
But for not just for Israel, although Israel, we need to keep our eye on Israel. Israel is very important.
God, and
Israel is planning a new temple. They're planning on starting the priesthood again. Well, many Jewish people in Israel now believe in Yeshua. And we can see that with what things are happening in the earth today, that we must be getting closer and closer each and every day to the end. Yes.
I believe that with all my heart.
Well, we have Miss Margie here with us, Margie Swaney, and she has something to share because we've also been talking about the counting of the Omer, which is the days from Passover up until Pentecost.
From Nisan 17 until Pentecost.
And when we come into Pentecost, as you continue to read in the book of Acts, it talks about Gentiles coming into the kingdom. Cornelius, his family,
mm-hmm.
And it talks about how God spoke to Peter about the clean and the unclean things, speaking about people and nations, that, Jesus died for everyone,
yes.
every nation. There's people that are absolutely all over the world in every single country that know Yeshua, that are coming to the Lord. No matter where it's at, there are people coming to the Lord all over the United States of America. Well, praise the Lord. It looks like my battery's going down on my Facebook page, but we'll let it run until it goes out. So this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We do have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 p.m. So if you can come by the Alliance Church, that's on 445 Southeast Osceola Street, right near the hospital, by the river. Come by and have Shabbat with us. That's at 2:00 this afternoon. Amen. And okay, Miss Margie.
Praise the Lord. And I am very grateful for the Torah.
Amen.
And it will never, never go away.
Pass away. That's
it
right.
It will never. It's for us. You know, I was thinking about when Moses went up to the mountain and that all the commandments were given. I can't imagine such a powerful thing that took place would ever just fall away and not be.
That's right.
So I thank the Lord for the Torah. And as we are in the season and the Feast of Weeks, it's also the counting of the Omer, and counting of the Omer, which leads to Pentecost. It's an instruction of God's plan of salvation, restoration, and receiving the Holy Ghost in our life. Jesus, the Messiah, the Hebrew name Yeshua, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, it means Savior, is the fulfillment of the Passover, which is this crucifixion, unleavened bread, the grave, and first fruits, his resurrection. He is the reason for counting the Omer.
Yes, he is.
After leaving the captivity, the bondage of Egypt, by the mighty hand of God, they traveled 50 days, a preparation for receiving the Torah. Because when they traveled, they went to the foot of Mount Sinai, and there they waited. And so they were about to receive the Torah, which is the teaching instruction of God that would be given to the children of Israel.
Interesting, Margie. You know, they had to wait 3 days there. But in Acts chapter 2 and 1, they had to wait, what, 10 days?
10 days.
But when they went there, they only waited 3 days.
The Lord said, separate yourselves.
That's right.
Wash your clothes.
That's
purify.
Right. That's right.
And in a sense, that's in that 10 days of preparation in the upper room. They didn't actually know what was going to take place, but they knew to prepare their hearts.
That's right.
His segula, I just wanted to say that again. His segula, his treasured possession.
That's us, hallelujah.
That's us, yes. The Torah was to teach his treasured possession, and not only them, but you and I also, how to live a holy life. Thank you, Father. And as they took this walk to Mount Sinai, awaiting to hear God's voice, they had to prepare themselves at the foot of the mount, purify, and set themselves apart for 3 days. Thank you, Lord. And in Exodus 19, because I wanted to read in the Torah,
that's where it all started, huh?
Exodus 19.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. Exodus 19, 10 through 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes.
Yes.
And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Today, as we are observing the Feast of Weeks, counting the Omer, each day of counting, we must take one more step away from the impurities of our Egypt.
That's good, boy.
That remaineth within us. We can glean from the Torah. It's for a reason that this is here. It's to help us. So As we celebrate and honor this feast, as the children of Israel coming out of captivity, we can do that too. One step, day by day, a little closer to Yeshua. We want to walk away and leave it. Amen.
Leaving Egypt.
Yes.
Like leaving Egypt.
Right? We're going to leave tonight. That one song. Amen.
Remember that song we used to sing at church? I'm not making bricks for Pharaoh anymore. We've come out of Egypt.
He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be free.
Amen.
Amen. He wants that out of us. He doesn't want this to remain in our temples. Counting the Omer can be a time of searching our hearts for any impurities.
Yes.
Letting more of self fall away that keeps us from being free. A time of renewing our spirit, wanting a deeper relationship with Jesus. He is overflowing with love and kindness. Jesus is judgment, justice. Jesus is compassion, beauty, balance. Jesus is victory.
Yes.
Efficiency, glory, splendor, our foundation. Pastor Donna and Pastor Gene mentioned that. Intimacy with Jesus. He so desires that. He is majesty. He is the purest love that is within us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
So if we could go to 1 John 4.
Okay. 1 John, that's a good chapter, boy.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I'd like to read 7 through 12.
Okay.
Thank you, Father. This whole chapter is so very good.
Yeah.
And the whole book. In verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love.
Yes.
In this was manifested the love of God toward us, his segula, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him.
Yes.
Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, you know, you really can't truly love people like you should unless you know the Messiah.
That is true.
Now, people say you can't. Well, I can love people. But there's a deep love that comes when you come to the Lord.
Yes.
Changes your whole heart.
I think it would be good to read the rest of this chapter because, you know, without Messiah in your heart, it's impossible to the way God wants us to
love. That's it. You got
it. Because we're talking about charity, brotherly love, and, you know, even loving the unlovely.
Yes.
And just the kind of love that God has, the kind of love that Jesus had for all humanity, even for those who put him on the cross. He said, what did he say? Forgive them.
For they know not what they do.
He said to forgive them.
Yes.
So he didn't hold any
grudges,
no hard feelings. And so, you know, a lot of people say, I can't forgive somebody. Maybe it's a family member. They say they have a hard time forgiving them. But God says that we must forgive. And so here the Jewish people are planning on building a third temple, but really the temple of God, when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, when we receive him, where is the temple? It's in our heart.
It's in our heart.
It's our heart. It's a tabernacle, and that's where Jesus dwells. And so, you know, because the veil has been torn, and he can enter into each and every one of our hearts. How does he do that? It's miraculous, you know. It's the Lord. You left off in verse
12, so 13 is the next verse.
It says, hereby know we that we dwell in him. In who? In Yeshua.
Yes.
And he in us. So he's in us, and we're in him. And we also have the Father.
Right.
It tells us that in Matthew. Because he hath given us of his Spirit. We're talking about getting the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. When we receive Yeshua, we receive the Spirit of God. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Yes.
The Savior of the entire world. Amen. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
There's your requirement. We have to have the Lord, don't we, to walk, love properly.
You have
properly.
To confess that.
That's right.
And then he's faithful and true, and he enters, because that veil has been torn.
Mm-hmm.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God.
Hallelujah.
And God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. So what's made perfect? Our love is made perfect. Mm-hmm. The love is made perfect. Doesn't mean that we're perfect in every single way, because we're not. We make mistakes every day.
But love is perfect, isn't it?
But love is perfect. God is perfect. God's love is perfect. And so it says, hereby in our love, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. Glory to God.
He that feareth is not made perfect
in love. We love him because he first loved us.
Right.
Amen. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment, here's a commandment mentioned, have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
And that's a command.
That is a command.
That's right.
Well, you have a few minutes,
and you
Pastor
can't,
Gene.
You really can't truly love people like we should unless we have the Messiah in our hearts. And people say, well, I know how to love. But do you really? I know how my heart changed when I made that step. You know, I used to didn't like the Jewish people in Fort Lauderdale because they were so obnoxious sometimes. But the day I got saved, my heart changed, and I fell in love with them. So this is, you know, your marriage may not be the greatest thing in the world. Come to Yeshua. Obey the word of God, and that love can be brought to a great place with you as a couple together, and you can restore that marriage and be pleasing to God.
Amen.
And so it's all going to be based on what? Making that first decision, the first step to say, Lord, I need you more than my next breath, and he's willing to do that. Ask, and you shall receive. He will be glad to come into your life. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. It's not difficult. And so don't let somebody say, well, when you get yourself all cleaned up and all, well, then maybe God will accept you. No, he'll take you right now, just like you are, come to him, and then he does the cleaning. You know, you know, like Don and I was talking about this one day. We catch the fish, but we don't clean them, do we? God's the one that cleans them. We just catch them, get them in that net, and then God does his work on them. And we've all been, if you've been born again, you're listening to this program, you've all been through this. You know the proving and the things that you have to go through and the changes that's required. And Margie talked about the Torah here today, how important the commandments, obeying those things that God put in place. Those things will be poured out into our heart, and we'll be able to change because we want to please God in everything that we do. I always think about the Apostle Paul. Remember, he said he worked out his salvation with fear and trembling. It wasn't that he was afraid necessarily or that he was going to lose his salvation. But what he was concerned about was he didn't want to miss anything that God had planned for him to do. So he did. He worked it out. He had to do it himself. Nobody could do it for him. You and I are listening right now. You know, we have to do it on our own. My wife can't do it for me. Your husband can't do it for you. Your good friend can't do it for you. Only the Messiah. He's the one. He's our help. He's our help. And he's a help. He's a ready help in time of need. Aren't you glad he's right there? So if you're in that place today and you're struggling with your life and you're wondering, what am I doing? What am I? Where am I going? Well, fall in love with the Lord by coming to him first of all. And then when you fall in love with him, you'll never be the same again. And we're a witness to that. You know, I never used to cry very much, but boy, I'll tell you now, all the years that I've been saved, almost 36 years now, Don and I, well, the tears flow quite often. And why is that? I don't know. It's not because I'm unhappy. It's just because I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and my life is wrapped up in him, and I want to serve him. And when I see my wife, I see her in a new light, a different way. I see the beauty of God in her life in a different way. And so that's what it's all about. And we just read about the love of God. You know, he loved us first. Not we didn't love him first, he loved us first. And he's drawing all people, everyone around the world, no matter where they're from, no matter the ethnic background, he's drawing all people to him. He said, if I be lifted up, and he was, I will draw all men unto myself. So we lift up Yeshua here today with you. He's your answer. He's your only hope in this life and the one to come. So make that decision today. And if you have, you can call us at area code 772-285-7007. Tell us what happened with you today so we could pray with you. Or you can call WCNO Radio here on 221-1100. Someone here will pray with you. Karen just walked in here. She'll be glad to pray with you. All right? And Pastor Jonathan's here. So they'll be glad to pray with you and to encourage you because that's the first step to a new life. And remember, your old things, all the things you did before, are passed away when you make that decision. God's not going to remember any of that. It's as far as the east is from the west. He says, today is a new day. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's all we're going to be accountable for. So here I am, almost 80. And all, you know, I didn't get saved until I was 42. So anything I did during that first 42 years is in the sea of forgetfulness. So I'm only responsible from the day that I made that commitment on the side of the road with him till today. And that's what's important. And you can have the same thing. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton with Raising the Standard on WCNO every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 p.m. We do have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 p.m., so come by and worship God with us as we celebrate, and Pastor Gene will be doing some more teaching. Praise God.
Amen.
So we give God the glory, and we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
And we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God bless you all.
God bless. Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
We are